Hey, Mystic Michaela, spiritual family. Welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. Today, we are talking about money in the 5D versus money in the 3D and how your relationship with money, no matter how subconscious it is actually a very important conversation that you're having with the universe. But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
All right. So, Scott, this is kind of like one of those concepts that it could be like a little abstract. And it's actually really weird for me to talk about it because I feel like this is one of the things I am always working on, like my relationship with money and metaphoring it out to like my relationship with the universe. So much easier for me to see it on other people versus on myself. So that's, I'm really excited about this episode, but what do you think? Like, is this abstract or am I just like in my own issue?
No.
Is it my issues?
It is, but I think, and I didn't really think about this until I was actually talking to the Tuesday night discussion group, I believe. And no, I think there's a lot of like shame that comes with money.
Yes.
And there's a lot of issues, like you were just saying, that come with money.
Yeah, like your programming, the way you were raised. Like,
it's like, honestly, I think it's like the most annoying thing on the planet.
Yeah.
But it's so annoying. It's so deeper. Yes, the money is like the surface thing.
Yeah, you're like, oh, money, whatever.
But it's like there is so much behind it.
Yes.
And there's so many directions you can go. You could probably make a whole podcast. I mean, they probably do have podcasts.
They probably do.
All about money and
money and energy.
And energy. Well, that's great. It could be its own podcast in itself.
Yeah.
You know what? One of the thousands of things that bother me about money. I mean, actually, you know what the biggest thing is?
What?
The biggest thing about money that bothers me, it's so abundant. It's the most abundant thing on the planet.
Yeah.
It's not like gold gold is pretty abundant too. It's not like diamonds or some precious metal. It's so abundant. But yet, some people, you know, think it flows to them. And then some other people have like, it doesn't flow to them.
They have blockages. We're going to talk about that. Yeah.
Which is so crazy because it's the most abundant thing on the planet and all day long.
Money's not even real.
No,
it's like a social construct.
Yeah, it's not even real.
Like they can't even base it off anything anymore. So they just made it like a social agreement that we all check into.
Correct.
Right.
It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by silver. It's backed by nothing other than you believe in the United States government.
Right.
That's all it.
Or whatever government
or whatever
you're living in. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, here in the U.S. Right. So it's very strange. But I was also talking about when I used to teach.
Yeah.
And nobody – okay, so part of my teaching was in a public school. In a public school, everybody knows your salary.
Yes.
For the most part because you're on a step.
In New York,
New
I don't
York.
Know how it works in other states. I assume. I don't know.
So when I taught in public school in New York, if you were on step 10, you knew, let's say you made 50 grand. Let's just make it up. You know, and then if step 11, 2,000 more or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And even then, when it was public knowledge, people wouldn't tell you the salary. They wouldn't actually tell you the number. They would just say, I'm on step 8.
Yeah.
Because there were little variables like where you can make money here and there. For other things.
Yeah, like if you're taking over a club or a sport. Right.
Right, or if you have
But even that was very upfront.
Yeah, no, everything.
Yeah.
No, yeah, because it was all unionized.
Mm-hmm.
So all the salaries and all the, what you would get for each thing was there.
Yeah.
But even then, people wouldn't tell you.
Yeah.
But then when I moved to Florida, I taught in a private school.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no union.
You don't know what people are
getting. And you had no idea what everyone's salary. So I assume this would be more like, feel like more corporate America.
Right.
And, you know, nobody would tell the salaries.
You're like walking around like, how much you making? What's on your pay stub? Excuse me.
Yeah. And I'm going crazy here because.
How can you afford that? How much you making?
You know, cause
why doesn't anybody answer me?
I'm trying to help everyone because, you know, people are complaining, you know, it's teachers and, you know, we don't get the highest salaries to begin with.
Right.
And, you know, everyone's complaining about this or that.
Right.
And I'm like, well, why don't we just all say our salaries? Like, why can't we just say, hey.
Let's unionize.
Yes, exactly. Like, I make this, you make that. Okay, you're getting paid this for that.
Cesar Chavez over
here. But, like, he was a red blue, right?
Yeah.
So it would bother me that, you know, I would like try to have a conversation, not with everyone at first, just like with one person.
Right.
Someone I'm friends with.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't tell me their salary. And I'm like, I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours.
Right.
Like, you know, I'll show you mine. I'll show you if you show me yours.
Okay.
Okay. Whatever.
Okay.
So I'm like, why won't people tell?
Yeah.
It's like, it's for our benefit.
Right.
You know, but apparently, you know, there's things to it.
We were taught, and this is that's a great example. And salary transparency is such a hot button topic right now. So you're not alone in this. Like, okay, a lot of people are saying.
So I was ahead of my time. This was a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And now there's kind of a bit of a movement, if I'm paying attention to my Yahoo headlines correctly. So on top of things. No, but there is like a bit of a movement to be like, hey guys, like just ask and just tell so that we can form some sort of collective against who the higher ups are,
right,
deciding this. But you know what it is? And this is where the 5D comes into it.
Okay.
All right. So this is what, oh, this is so powerful, because what you're saying when you don't collectively get together, and this is just in this example, and be like, this is what I make. How much do you make? What you're saying is there's fear that the system is going to take it away from you. And the conversation you're having now in the 5D is that I'm not powerful. That's the energy you're giving to the universe. And the universe doesn't care about like right or wrong. It just pays attention to the energy you give out. And the way that they keep us down or where we're at,
yeah,
because like I'll say, the rich stay rich, the poor stay poor, middle stay middle, like everybody kind of says, is you keep believing it subconsciously because it does work that way. So once you're not investigating this in kind of a more 5D way, it has way more control over you. But yeah, and the shame.
Yeah, and there is, and I looked it up, there, for the most part, there's no law. Again, there's laws that you're allowed to say it. You know,
okay,
so a corporation cannot, maybe in some public spheres you can't, but there, in a corporation, like let's say you work for Nike, there is no law. I mean, they can't stop you from saying your salaries.
Okay.
So, you know, it's us doing it to ourselves.
Yes.
You know, it's not because there's laws that says you're allowed to say your salary.
Mm-hmm.
It's us doing it to ourselves.
Wow.
Which is the scary part. But yeah, I guess, you know, I try to look up some articles on it, and they all kind of, I'm like, well, why don't people tell their salaries?
Mm-hmm.
And it was always like, you know, possible jealousy, resentment. You know, once you tell that salary, let's say that, you know, that now the person, like, let's say I say my salary is 50 grand. Now the next person has to go. Now in their head, they're thinking, do I make up a lie and say it's 55? I'm only making 40. What do I do here? So they're saying that's what would happen.
Okay.
So that's why people don't want to put themselves in those positions.
Because they believe that the amount you get says something about you.
Yeah.
And that's the scary thing.
Right.
So you have shame.
Okay.
Which is like, okay, this is how much I'm worth and what they're actually paying me. And I believe I'm ascribing it to my own self-worth. Like if I make less than you, I'm worth less than you. And there's some sort of shame.
Yeah.
When you feel shame, you're holding the blame of what somebody else did to you. So, and then you're owning it, and then the universe will respond to you in that way. Or you make more than somebody else. You're like, oh, I feel bad. So now you feel bad that you have abundance coming at you. So now the conversation is, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible person for making more. So there's, or I'm not likable if I make a certain amount. So all this, you can walk it back to self-worth stuff, and the system, the 3D world, is banking on it. They want us to have that fear and that, so you know, and it's all social acceptance, and that your place in the world is very determined by it. So it's linked. And what happens is you believe it. Somewhere in you, there's a belief that it's true. And I don't think, maybe I'm pessimistic, but like, I don't think we can ever live in this world, coexist, like in this 3D world. I don't think as humans we can ever completely get out of it. I don't think we'll ever be able to, but I think if you have an awareness of it, you can have better control.
Yeah.
Or some better opportunity, or some better something.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no. It's fascinating. And again, no one ever told me the salary, and I never got to the point where I told anyone, because if they were going to tell me, I guess I would them. I guess it's just in my brain. And, you know, for me, I was like, I'll tell you.
That's a good example.
Yeah. It's all, you know what? Also, I find maybe not so much anymore, but when I used to, well, I still do, lease a car.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, you go into the Toyota dealership, and 10 people go in, 10 people go out. There, 10 people are going to pay different prices
for
that same car.
Yeah.
And no one would ever tell you the lease price.
Yeah.
Now, for me, I always went around. This one I always did. I'm like, I'll tell you what I'm paying for that lease.
Right.
Because I would be.
Yeah, it's true. People don't tell you what their car payments are. Unless you're really close to them.
Yeah, they won't
tell you. It's an awkward conversation.
Yeah. And I think it's the same thing with the salaries. Yeah. What you're saying with the whole thing.
Or how much you pay for your house. Like that kind of thing.
Well, house you could look up online.
You can.
So you could just see
people
what
you're paying. People get weird.
But they, yeah.
Because like just on our block, like a couple people sold their houses. It's like, oh, you listed it for that. But you know you, like, did you get less? Did you get more?
Yeah.
Like you can't ever find out directly unless you're close with them.
Yeah. Well, in Florida, you can look up on Zillow and it'll tell you the sale price.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So,
Guess that's what you've been doing, nosy neighbor.
Florida is so weird. Like you could, I don't know if this is every state, but every single
thing. We know Florida's weird.
You could look up. You could see how much someone pays in their property taxes. You could see when they paid their property taxes.
Really?
If they didn't pay their,
everything's so
online. Yeah, it's all on. Yeah, it's very transparent. So you can look up. If someone tells you like, oh, I sold my house for $500,000, you could look that up.
And see if it's accurate or whatever. Accurate.
Yeah, I don't know if it takes like 30, 60 days to get on there, but you can see the price, what
all
they paid.
Well,
yeah.
Florida's like, no, we're not doing that. Okay.
Yeah. Florida, you can tell. All right. Well, let's do one ad, and then when we come back, we'll talk about, I think we're going to talk about me and my issues with money.
Yeah.
All right.
Using Rocket Money has been a real eye-opener. You know, I have kids, and I don't even know how this happened. How did this even happen, I ask myself. Because of Rocket Money, I found out I've been paying every month for this, like, app. This, like, app that I don't know how the kids figured out how to get me on this subscription, but I saw that. I was like, what? I never would have known about it. And I deleted it immediately. I canceled it. And Rocket Money made it possible and super easy to do that. You know, try it free for 30 days. When have you heard that? Just enough time to try it. And then you completely forget about it. In fact, over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about. You could be wasting money and not even realizing it. Rocket Money helps you find those forgotten subscriptions so you can stop paying for ones you don't use. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Rocket Money will quickly and easily find those subscriptions for you. And, you know, anything you don't want to pay for anymore, all I did was hit cancel and Rocket Money just canceled it for me. Super easy. And it also helps you manage all your finances in one place and automatically categorize your expenses so you can easily track your budget in real time and also get alerted if anything looks off. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 per year. And I feel like it's just the best sponsor for today's podcast because this is something you can do for yourself that tells the universe, like, I pay attention to what's happening to me. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/KYA. That's rocketmoney.com/KYA. rocketmoney.com/KYA. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
Okay, so let's talk about you and your...
That's what we usually do.
And your big thing with money.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can provide a good example because I want, coming up, it might be triggering for people. It might be really enlightening for people. This stuff is so insidious in us. It's hard to pick out how our relationship with money communicates our relationship with our own self-worth.
Right.
So we're going to use you as the Scotty guinea pig.
Okay.
And what is your biggest issue, would you say, with just money in society, in the 3D world? What's your thing?
I definitely have to say, I thought about this. It's getting ripped off.
Oh, yes. You hate this.
Yeah. I cannot handle getting ripped off.
So what is it about getting ripped off that just irks you? Like follow it down just a little deeper.
All right. So let's say... Well, okay, let's take it like a big corporation or something.
Right.
Like when they charge like a fee that I feel is like, what is this? This is just a money grab.
Yes.
Trying to get an extra few hundred dollars out of me or whatever it is, $100. I can't handle it.
Yeah, no, it's true.
So like the one that comes to mind the most, and I don't know if they still, I think they still do have it, but they don't really do it as much as they used to. But going back to the leasing cars.
Yeah.
There used to be in the – and it was in the contracts. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's in the contract that when you return the car and you don't lease from that company again,
right,
they charge you what's called a – I think it's called a disposition fee.
So if you rent a Jeep – and right, you're like, just dropping it off, I'm going to go get a Toyota now.
Right.
Oh, there's a bill for you.
Yeah. Then they're like, oh, there's a $300 fee for that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that the first time I leased a car as many years ago, I'm like, mm-hmm, they're like, all right, well, you owe $300. I'm like, I don't know. What are you talking about? I owe $300.
Oh, yeah. You say it just like that, too.
Yeah. And they'll be like, well, there's this disposition fee. If you don't pay it, you don't buy another car, we charge you $300. I'm like, what's that for? Oh, you know, just for the return.
Like, they can't even answer.
Yeah, they can't even answer it themselves. I'm like, well, I'm not paying that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I'm going to pay that.
No, Scott will die on that hill.
I will die. And believe it or not, I've gotten to collections, like at least three times, where they've, on three different cars that I've returned, because I didn't
I will sacrifice my credit score for this.
I will. I'll sacrifice anything. That right, will never get paid.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know whatever happens. And eventually what they do is they're just like, oh, for $12 you could get out of this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
$2 you could get, nope.
Oh, I know. They come at you with the tiny bills.
Yeah.
They're like $15. You're like, no.
You're like, $15? That $300?
Look at them. They're trying to still have you say,
yep,
I believe,
yes,
in this. And you are like, yep, I do not believe in this. I do not,
yep,
agree,
yep,
to you being in control.
That's right. When I returned my Nissan Pathfinder, they charged me $300 way back when.
Right.
I never paid it. When I returned my Jeep, I never paid it.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, that your credit score.
I don't care.
But
care.
But think about it. Like,
yeah,
what is a credit score? It's the most 3D world thing,
yeah,
I can,
yeah,
think of. And there's so many companies and that wants that. Oh, you have to get your credit score. You can't do this unless you get. It's like that Black Mirror episode with the likability. I don't know if anybody saw that. It's with the actress from Jurassic Park is in it. But like, remember that?
Yeah.
Like, you go around and like your like score made it. You know, what kind of house you could buy, what kind of social circles you could be in, what kind of job you had. It's like this credit score is,
yeah,
this made up thing that controls what your role in society is.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And you know, it's actually funny. So I have actually been, the last few leases, everyone knows I got my RAV4.
Yeah.
Cruising my RAV4.
Oh,
my,
yeah,
red RAV4 down the, you know, really. But actually, it was really funny. The last time I leased it from Toyota, they actually gave me a check, which is kind of weird now that I think about it, for $300.
That's weird.
Which is the disposition fee that they would normally charge. And they gave it to me as a gift.
Why?
I don't know. I've never had a car company just give me a check for anything.
That's weird.
But they gave me the $300 to say, as a loyal customer.
Weird.
You know, I've leased from Toyota a few times.
But it's weird that it was the same amount.
Yeah, well, that's what I think all the
they're all about that. But
yeah,
I don't know.
All about that.
Like, you can think about it more 5D. Like, the universe is like, okay.
Yeah. Which was
so
weird. I'm like, wait a second. Like, what's this math? I got this check from Toyota. I'm like,
right,
it was $300. I'm like, what is this?
And that always happens to you.
So weird.
That's happened to you so many times.
Yeah.
Like, weird amounts, the same amount, like, in an ironic way or come about way.
Yeah.
But then I also feel like with you, getting ripped off can happen. You're always so paranoid about it.
I am.
And, okay, so in your quest to be a Green Aura, you've been a little landscaper lately.
Yes, we've been doing a couple landscaping projects.
I know, I'm really proud of us, I have to say.
Yeah. So
it takes us longer than anyone else to do things, but we're really proud of ourselves.
And this is because, you know, we're having some stuff done and that's out of my control.
Right.
So what I try to do is the things I can do,
yeah,
I have to do them. This is a whole other probably issue.
Oh,
that
my God.
I have.
Right. In our backyard. Right.
Right. So, like, to take control, I have to do these projects myself.
Right.
Where, you know, probably shouldn't be doing them myself, but I have to.
No, we did good. Yeah.
No, it came out great.
I'm
out
so
fantastic.
Proud of us.
Yeah.
Brianna says we're intense when we do these things together.
Oh, yeah.
Brianna's like, you guys are intense. And I'm like, probably. Because we're like, what kind of rock should we get? Is there, like, we had to learn about landscaping tarp. And
yeah.
We had to learn all these things, you guys.
No, I know.
And so proud of myself and you.
But, you know, so we're trying to figure out what to do with this space.
Right.
And then we go to our go-to plant, which is Calusia.
It's a bush.
It's a bush.
It's a hardy bush.
Yes. It's like a hedge.
It's a hardy hedge.
Yeah. It's a great plant.
Yeah. You can't kill it.
You can't kill it. It's amazing. We love this.
Yeah. It's
so
a great plant.
You had the idea, like, let's just plant Calusia.
Like, that's always my idea. I have no vision in this way. So I'm like, oh, Calusia.
Calusia. Let's do it. And I'm like, all right. And now I know everything about Calusia.
Yeah.
Because I've worked with this plant before, bush, whatever you want to call it. And I know the pricing. So we go to the landscaping place.
Yes.
Talk to the guy. All right. I need three Calusia. He says $25.
No, this is what happened. We're together. and the guy had an accent and he goes, they're 45 each. And all of a sudden you're like, oh man, maybe we should get four, Megan. And I'm like, 45 each. I'm like, Scott, three is fine. Three is fine. And you're like, you sure? Should we get like four? And I'm in my head, I'm like, what is this Mr. Moneybags all of a sudden? Like, this is expensive. I'm like, three's enough. Three's enough. So we go up.
Well no, because in my head.
You heard 25.
He said 25.
He said 45.
And I know Calusi, and I'm like, that's a great price.
He said 45.
25 is the price you pay for Calusi. If you can get it for 20, that's amazing.
Right.
But 25 is what you pay.
But he said 45. You heard 25.
Yeah. I heard 25. So
until we get to the register.
Right.
But you did still buy them.
Yes.
Even though you were like, wait, what? And then like, and I'm like, Scott. Anyway, so that was like a whole thing.
Yeah.
But fast forward to later that day.
Right.
We had to go to a different landscaping spot.
To get the rocks.
To get the rocks.
Because I felt the prices at that place were ripping me off on the rocks.
You're like, wait a second. Right. You thought, yeah. So we go to this other place and we walk by the Calusi and I see the price, the same Calusi we got, same height and everything. And it's at $25. And I was just standing in front of them. Because I just didn't want to deal with the fallout of you realizing you got ripped off. And I'm standing in front of the sign and you're like, hey, wait a second. Just get a step away from the Calusi, Megan. And I step away and, oh, forget it. I've been hearing about the Calusi. It was $25 there.
Yeah, because that's what you're supposed to pay.
I've been hearing about this for a week. So anyways, yes.
All right. Yeah.
But it happens to you all the time. I feel bad.
It does. It does. I guess it just happened at your birthday dinner as well.
Oh, right. And Bree's 14, and you always want her to order off the kitty menu. Because she does still eat, like, a five-year-old.
Yeah,
I will say
she
that.
She takes, like, three bites.
Yes.
And she's done.
She's done. I'm done.
That's it. I'm finished. I'm full.
Right. I'm full. Yeah. And I will, but she's getting, she's taller than me.
Yes.
And she's still forced to eat off the kitty menu when we go out to dinner with you. But it's my birthday. You know,
right.
Maybe everyone's feeling a little bit like, you know, we go to this Italian restaurant.
Love this Italian
restaurant.
Favorite
place. Good.
Yeah.
It's like such good chicken piccata. It makes me so happy. And I'm so when she ordered her fettuccine Alfredo, because she looks like not like somebody who can eat on the kitty menu anymore, they just assumed, you know, it was big girl pasta, as we call it, instead of like kitty menu pasta.
Right.
Which is for, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, why are you getting a salad? Yeah. The salad's on the kitty menu? The salad's with your entree? What a deal. What a deal here.
Well,
and then Bree's like, oh, I think I ordered the big girl pasta. Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, you know, it was your birthday.
Right.
So I didn't get too upset. But yes, I mean, here, and it's not Bree. It's not her fault or anyone's fault. It's this restaurant's fault. But I love this restaurant, by the way, so I can't get too mad. I'm
he
like, got that
so
mad about
cheap
it.
About it.
Okay,
so funny.
All
right, go ahead.
The pasta, okay, if you get the fettuccine Alfredo on the adult menu, yes.
You guys, these are a real problem.
You do get a salad. But it's like $23 or $24.
Right.
I can't
remember
what it was.
No, it is expensive.
Yeah. And you throw like one shrimp in there, it becomes $70. And because I'm like, oh, I'll get it with shrimp. And then mine was like $92. And then.
And on the kitty menu, I think it's like $10.
Yeah, it's like $8
and
or
$9. And it's the same amount.
Yeah,
it
it's
is.
Pasta.
No, you're right.
It's like fettuccine Alfredo. It's pasta. All it is like.
We know.
Fettuccine. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Like, literally, pasta costs like a nickel. Like, it's like truly a nickel.
Okay, so.
And that's another thing. Why is pasta so expensive at restaurants? It's the cheapest thing. You go to Publix, it's like $1.50 for a box of Barilla pasta.
Because somebody else made it for you.
Yeah, and you go to like an Italian restaurant.
That doesn't bother me because
like
I didn't have to make it.
You know, $90 for pasta.
So anyway, so the bill comes and you take off your glasses and you put them on and you take them off and you put them on and Bree's like, oh, you're upset. I got the big girl pasta. I'm sorry. And I'm like, Bree, it's fine. You're old enough. You should order off the big girl menu, not the little kid menu anymore. But you were like, and then like you're doing math in your head.
Well, because you know what?
And you were just really, really like, you put it down, you picked it back up, you put it down, you picked it back up.
Well, yeah, because I'm used to like.
You're used to a certain amount. When
yeah,
we
I'm
go
used to
out.
A certain amount.
It was like $20
it was
more.
Like, it was like a weird number, so I'm trying to figure out the tip, and everyone knows I'm a huge tipper. And I was trying to figure out, you know, because I usually give like 22%.
No, you are. You're
I
a
like
good 22 tipper.
24% I try to give, you know, more.
No, this is what
20.
Happens. Like when we get the bill, you're like, Megan, what's 20% of the bill? Because that's like math I can do. And I'm like, oh, and I'm really good to the cent. I'm like, oh, well, the tip is, I don't know, like 21.32. And then you're like, how what's that? And we're like, well, that's like 20%. And then you're like, and then you always like go up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, which is fine. It's just like you I feel like you feel like you're really like a VIP when you do that.
Yeah.
Like you're like flashy cashy.
And look, you know, I could have been like, hey.
You're like, I'm going to give 23.
You know, she just meant to get it out of the kid menu, but yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Anyways.
So. But yeah. I mean, It's a concept.
You got ripped off.
Yeah, that. Yeah,
you felt ripped
for
off.
For like $9 instead of $23.
I don't feel bad when it's like a mom and pop place like that.
Yeah.
Then I do not feel, I don't know. Like for me, I'm like, whatever. It's like, even the Colusia, like the first place you ordered it where it was 45, it's like a mom and pop place, you know, whatever. I don't, I think like you have more of a point with that disposition fee thing.
Yeah. All right. All right. I think we need to take a little break.
I think so too.
We come back. You're going to be talking about Buddy.
This is a great time of year, seeing as though that it's spring, to reset and let go of what's not serving you, make way for a new season, new growth, change, and let's start at the scalp. Let's start with your hair. Let's start with Way. Feeling flaky, hair looking dull. I mean, Way always has a product for any of those things to help you care from the top down and meet all your hair care goals. Personally, I've used all the Way products. I interchange them to what my hair's telling me. And what I've noticed about using Way is I pay way more attention to what my hair needs and respond to it. And your hair will talk to you. It will. Because I was having, before using Way, like my hair would kind of look thin. It wouldn't look as full or voluminous. And now Way, using all their products, has helped me a lot of look improvement, and it feels stronger, and it has this appearance of being a lot healthier. Their anti-dandruff shampoo is great. It fights flakes and it really soothes your scalp. You can stop flaking on your shoulders with their anti-dandruff shampoo. It's formulated with salicylic acid and 100% clinically proven to gently soothe itchy, irritated scalps while keeping your hair clean and soft. And I've definitely have used that, especially after coming out of these winter months where everything gets dry. The way to healthy hair this season and beyond starts here. Go to theway, theouai.com/aura for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theway, theouai.com/aura. So I wasn't giving much thought to the cookware I've been using. I mean, I had random pots and pans from this place and that place. And, you know, cooking was annoying because everything would cook unevenly or there'd be gross stuff left on my food after I used it. Well, guess what? This podcast is sponsored by Green Pan, and what a game changer this has been. In 2007, Green Pan's founders discovered that traditional nonstick pans were made with plastic coatings that turn toxic with heat. That's why they created a new alternative without forever chemicals. So why does making cookware with ceramic matter? It doesn't emit fumes when it's cooked. It conducts the heat evenly. It's super easy to clean up and allows you to cook with less oil or butter, making the foods you cook healthier. I just made chicken for my family in there. And can I tell you, I used way less butter to cook it. It cooked evenly. It cooked quicker. It was really tasty. Everybody ate it up. I mean, one thing I just love about Green Pan is how easy it is to clean after you cook in it. Literally a little wipe, no soaking overnight like I was doing with my other pans. Like, you wipe it and you're good. And it's such a great gift to somebody who's starting out in life, or to yourself, or just someone who you're really close to. You know, it's 2023. Are you still cooking with pans made out of plastic? Head to greenpan.us and use promo code KYA, and you'll receive 30% off your entire order, plus free shipping on orders over $99. That's right, 30% off, whether you buy one pan or a whole set. That's 30% off. So head to greenpan.us and make sure you use our promo code KYA. Let's talk about money in the 5D versus money in the 3D and how our aura creates, reacts, and responds to it. Money is so touchy. It's such a hot button issue. It really creates anxiety or friction or passion or intensity around it for all of us. And what I've noticed is your relationship with money is unique to you, And it usually has every single thing to do about your own narrative of self-worth. But let's back it up. What's the 5D and what's the 3D? So the 5D is the universe. That's the plane of existence where we're all equal. When you were born, okay, when you came into this world, you were from the 5D. This is how I see it. And you were the same as anyone else. And you still are. You are born with an inherent worth that no one can take away from you. Every single person has that inherent worth. And you don't have to do one thing to earn it or keep it. You existing is your worth. You being is your worth. You know, you don't have to go to school. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a certain amount of, you know, a certain number in the bank. You don't have to have the certain house. You don't have to do anything. You were born and you encapsulated that worth. It's kind of like, if you think about it, and we just did some landscaping in our backyard. So this is what I'm thinking about now. You know, I planted my plants and I just want them to be healthy. Like, I'll do anything for them. I'm like, what fertilizer do you need? How often do I have to water you? What do you need from me? Like, I will give to you. And the reward is that you thrive. That you thrive and you live your best life and that you're a being. That's the plant's reward to me. And I'm just simplifying it because truly, your job is to thrive and to live out your life purpose and to be happy and just to exist at your potential. All right. That's all you're here to do. You don't, there's no climbing that has to be done or anything else. And money is such an expression of self-worth in the 3D. So in the 3D world, that's the ego construct. So we created society as humans with our 3D mentalities. That's ego construct mentalities. The ego says that there's right and wrong. There's rich, there's poor. Divisions, always divisions. The ego says, oh no, you're not worth what you think you are. And money is a great tool to reiterate that message to you. All right, we're going to pay you less than your coworker. Women get paid less than men. I mean, there's so many. We could go all day talking about all the ways money tells you that you don't fit in, that you aren't the same, that you're different, and that you're less worthy than other people. So huge just bash here between the 3D and the 5D. And money is the tool in which the 3D can really tell you, can really double down and tell you, yeah, you're not, existing isn't enough. You have to do something more. And we're gonna show you why. The places you don't fit in, the places that, so that's, if you think of it that way, you have way more control over it. And money is the way in which we interplay with society and our role within it. And our relationship with money is indicative of what our relationship with our own self-worth is. So if you think about it, what's your relationship with money? I've talked about this a lot, but that's why we're concentrating it today. Like, maybe you always feel scared. So what's your relationship with money? You hoard it, you save it, you don't spend it on yourself. Maybe you feel like you need to be loved. Maybe you overspend. All right, I deserve this. You have a void in you. I deserve it. So I'm going to overspend. I'm going to max out all my credit cards because that's me filling the void. Maybe you don't feel worthy going into friendships as yourself. So you overspend on others. Too much gifting, you know, gifting to the wrong places. Empath traps, getting sucked into narcissist games, giving money away to people that aren't doing anything good with it. Maybe you always feel like you're being taken advantage of. You have like a victim mentality, all right? You might get stingy with money. You might not be as giving. Maybe you feel untrustworthy of the world around you because the rug's always been pulled out from under you. Then you'll only spend it on fear-based things. I better get the insurance. I better get the this. I better get the that. And I mean, these are just examples, but if you kind of go into the way that you spend money and walk it back and be like, what are these actions saying about what I'm saying about myself to myself? You have so much more control Because when you stop playing this game with money, when you stop playing it, you can start manifesting better with it. You can start receiving it better. And you can feel more at peace. Now, you're not talking to Jeff Bezos here. Okay, so it's not like I'm this billionaire who's teaching you. I'm still figuring it out too. So I just have to, like, obviously we're figuring it out together, but I've gotten better and I've learned things. And this was actually a really hard episode for me to do because I've talked about growing up without a lot. And honestly, like getting to a place where I feel safe and secure. I mean, that's a struggle for me. It's still a struggle and I work on it daily. And it's not about like solving issues. It's just being aware of them and trying to make more conscious decisions instead of knee-jerk ones. 3D does not want, the 3D world doesn't want you to think about this stuff. Because then you can outplay the game. Because you're not playing the game. They need you to play the game for it to work. Okay, so like I said, money's a narrative that you have. Money's just, it's just, yeah, it's part of your narrative. It's a story that society's telling you about you. And they use money to help, you know, reiterate it. And your story is probably shared with other people in your kind of bracket, your peers, who you've always known, socioeconomic. Okay, your socioeconomic status. This is how I see it. So I see money as a mentality, not a reality. And personally, this is how I see society, as a 3D society is setting it up. So it's that's why the rich stay rich and the poor stay poor. And the middle stays middle, because it is hard to move up or down. It's difficult because your mentality is actually calling the universe energy to you. All right. So when you change your mentality, when you shift your mentality, you can actually change where you're at socioeconomically. You know, I always see like a lot of people who win the lottery end up like blowing it. And it makes total sense to me because their mentality isn't there. It's where it's at. You're comfortable where you're at. The 3D ego, ego mentality. What do I always say? I say, we don't do what's good for us. We do what's normal for us. If you're comfortable being in a certain mental state, that's where you're going to stay. Even if it's not good for you, it's just, you know, what's comfortable for you is usually what we humans go for when we're, you know, and the 3D, you know, 3D ego stuff, it's not the worst thing. Like, you need to understand it to survive here. You can't survive here if you don't understand it, but understanding it makes you have more options open to you. And just a preface, and I've said this in any kind of conversation that we've had. Listen, it's not like you snap your fingers, you can get out of your socioeconomic status or get more money or this or that. Because, yeah, the 3D world has a lot of barriers for you. Race, gender, socioeconomic, where you live, opportunities. There's lots of obstacles. This is just going to open it up for you. Okay, so society loves to push things down your throat. Like, this is the way it is, and you can't change it. But if you change your mentality, you can change your situation. And, you know, growing up, I was raised very religious. And so, Catholic. Money's evil. Money's not good. It's weird because they want you to fear it, but they also want you to want it. Like, so it's like, if you have too much, you're bad. If you have too little, you're bad. Like, there's so much, like, oh my God, like, it's a toxic. They create this, like, toxic relationship with money, too. Society does, to keep it touchy, to keep you on your toes, to keep it like an eggshell relationship where you're like, oh my God, I don't want to do this because then I won't, you know, people won't like me if I have too much, people won't like me if I have too little, that, you know, they might think I'm this, they might think I'm that, like so much bigger. And it's just flipping money. Okay. And they make it this deity of our society by how much we are taught to care about it. Money becomes this negative relationship, and then society just judges you all along the way. Like, you don't really have even a chance. You know, money in the 5D is completely different. It's a conversation with the universe about who you are and what you spend your energy on. So let's start thinking about it this way. When you see money as a tool to communicate with the universe about your patterns of abundance rather than your own self-worth as a person, you will have way more control, way more freedom, and way more abundance. The conversation isn't about, you know, can I or can't I afford it? Does it make me a bad person if I want it? Does it make me a good person if I get it? That's not the conversation. It's me putting money towards it. What does this say about me? What, you know, again, walk it back. Why do I want this? Why am I avoiding this? Why do I don't, you know, have that conversation with yourself, because money and the choices you make are reflective of your self-worth, and money is energy. So you will have as much wealth as you feel worthy of receiving. That took me a long time to understand. And yes, there are outside barriers to that, but at the same time, that's the truth. And, you know, you entered this world with this default state of complete abundance, limitless abundance. That's what you entered this universe with. And society just chips away at that with some really good points. You know, if you look around, you're like, that's an obstacle. That's a real obstacle that I can't get rid of. Like, yeah, it is. But is it an obstacle that's true, you know? Or is it an obstacle that society set up and I realize it's just a game? Like, I just go back to women get paid less than men, all right? That's like a real, and there's so many of these examples, I'm just going to pick that one. That's a real sucker punch to women. It's like, yep, we're worthless. We get it. Now, is that real though? No, it's not real. That's the 3D society's way of looking at women. Okay. It's not real. It's just the way it is. So see, the difference removes you from the narrative, removes you from as many as of the repercussions that will come to you. If you believe it, you can't believe it. And we don't actively believe it. We just like actively kind of like accept it, agree to it, and eventually think it's true without even thinking too much about it. So today I'm asking you, stop believing it. Like actually see it and be like, no. Now, it's the way it is, but it's still not true. And, you know, how much do you value yourself? This isn't about money. Again, it's about the exchange. It's about the exchange. Money may represent so many things to you. It may represent safety, status, a way to belong. It's never money. A vehicle for experiencing life, abundance, security, freedom. Like, it's never money. It's what the money brings to you. So understanding what money means to you, you can jump over the money part and just attach to the feeling part. And then we talked about that a lot with visualizing, manifesting, and you can listen to one of those episodes if you want. So it sounds magical, but it's not. It's just removing yourself from the 3D narrative that any of this is true. And money's just, you know, it's easier to accept and be open to and receive. And doing things that reflect your own worthiness and abundant state of mind makes all the difference towards keeping this mindset and making sure money is given to you and you receive it. So it's not about denying yourself. It's about respecting yourself. So, you know, yeah, I don't know if you ever heard this saying, easy money spends the same, you know, and a lot of us think, unless I broke my back for it, it ain't worth it. It's not real. And there's so many other examples. Easy love is the love you want, okay? You don't want like a toxic relationship with someone. It shouldn't be hard. If it's hard, you don't want it, you know? Same thing with money. Easy money, that's what you want. Easy money spends the same. So what it means is really like easy abundance. Yeah, that's what I want. Because, again, you entered this universe with a default state of abundance. And thinking that you got to do anything for it actually keeps you from it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.
Okay. So what are some little things you can do to assist you in telling the universe that you see money as a tool to reflect and communicate your abundance? You can sit down and get realistic with your budget. Yeah, I know. I don't like doing that either. Okay. What am I spending? What am I doing? You know, what's unhealthy for me here? What can I cut out? What, I don't need that subscription, really. That's hurting me, not helping me. I did that. You know, I spend this money every month to this gym to fit in. But I don't like to go there, and I don't. So let's just find something else. Little things like that. Whatever. Saying no to events. Like, oh, if I don't go to, you know, if I'm not the bridesmaid at my coworker's wedding, she won't like me. And so I better spend like, you know, $1,500 on this whole thing. As you know, I don't even know what that would be. I haven't been a bridesmaid in a long time. But like, I don't know, between the bachelorette party and everything at the end. I mean, it's probably like a lot of money. If you don't like them, just say no. Or if you're not that close, just say no. Or if it's not like a heartfelt thing, just say no. And you know what you're telling the universe? You're telling the 5D universe that it's not worth my energy. It's not worth the money that goes into it, because it's not, I'm doing it to fit in and to avoid confrontation, not for my own self. Versus if it was somebody who's really close to you, then that's a different conversation. Like, I really want to do this, really want to be part of it. You know, that's different. Gifting others, like, really expensive gifts, again, just for status or just to fit in, take a step back from that. Not spending money on yourself, but spending it on other people, that's bad. You know, that's, I used to do that. So, like, you know, I'm not worthy, other people are worthy. So sometimes you got to give yourself the thing. Sometimes you have to take care of yourself. Maybe your birthday's coming up. Maybe a holiday, maybe something, maybe graduation. Maybe you don't have people that are going to give you something. You give that to yourself. That's a great conversation with the universe. So I'm going to buy myself a spa day, because I don't have to wait for nobody to do it. I'll do it for myself. So being more upfront about your spending and what the messages are underlying, that's how we can also change our conversation with the universe and can open up more opportunities for us. So when you give, you know, like, you know, empath traps, I'm going to talk about this when we talk about blues, but there are so many people, I call them empath traps. I've talked about this in the, I think, empath versus narcissist episode. I think that's episode 6. So it's a long time ago, but I talk about empath traps. It's like when, if you're an empath, so that's like purple, blue, turquoise, indigo. A lot of times what happens is you feel other people's feelings as your own, whether you realize it or not. And then what happens is if you're unaware about it, an unaware empath, you need other people's approval and love to fuel your own self-worth. And when you do that, narcissists or narcissistic people or toxic people come in and create context for you to, hey, I'll take the money and I'll give you self-worth. So you have to be careful of that with money and empath traps. All right, but let's talk about auras and money. So these are generalizations. Of course, everyone's unique, but I think going into each aura color and understanding aura color spending habits, aura color relationships with money can help you narrow down where it is potentially You're taking this opportunity to have a conversation with the universe and up your game, or maybe switch some things or level it up. Okay, so let's start with reds. Red auras, they love risk and they love gamble, and they will use money to do this. They love it. They think it's fun. They like that thrill. Okay, you know, you'll see them in stocks. They like to put a little skin in the game. Otherwise, it's not as worth it for them. They're little flashy cashy, big tippers, high rollers. They'll pay for VIP stuff. They'll pay for convenience. All right. What does all this mean? A lot, you know, reds are natural kind of alpha people. They just have like an alpha vibe about them. And that's fine. But if they kind of have to go out there and feed their own selves with other people's perceptions and use money to do that, they can get themselves in a hole. So I, you know, the way I'll see them overspend like that to make their image look better than it is. So something to watch. Yellow auras love a deal. They will coupon and they don't mind it. They'll argue they understand coupons too. You ever get coupons and you're like, this is like a lot of math. Taco place the other day, and I had like a taco, and I'm like, I had a coupon, I had two different coupons. I'm like, I don't know, like which one's good or what's even happening. And then you get your, I don't know. So anyway, yellow auras, they get it. Everything's a system. Money's a system. They love a spreadsheet. They'll look at their budget. Whether they spend a lot or spend a little, they have a system for it. And they're very independent. That's why I see a lot of yellow auras having their own bank accounts, even in relationships, and that's fine. Just because they're very independent, you know, they're on top of their credit card deals. They're okay, you know, this, I get more points here with this. It's double points this month. Like, they're on top of all that. And they just need that financial control in their lives to feel good. All right, so where do you have to be careful with this? Open-mindedness. And also, yellows can kind of, they love to plan. So sometimes they can plan a little too much. And when they do that, they can start, you know, spending money for like future situations that haven't even happened yet. So they have to be careful with that. Green auras are either going to spend a lot or spend nothing. But I'll tell you what they always spend their money on. And it's like the toys that they find worth it. All right. They want that software, they want the computer, they want the gaming, like they'll spend it. They want the yard tool. Okay. They'll spend money on that, but the couch has seen better days. And they will have like opinions about things really strongly when it comes to the stuff that they care about, not always caring about the things that other people, especially their partners or their family members, would like instead. So they're real good at telling you like what you want isn't great, but what I want is necessary because this is the problem with green auras. They will sacrifice their own emotional fulfillment for what society tells them they should be at. Meaning, a lot of times they'll say, let's not get married until there's some number in the bank account, until I have this real estate, until I have this bill paid off, until you have your debt all paid off, until you have your... And yeah, you could look back and be like, well, that's smart. But they just stall it and stall it and stall it. And you really should never in your life. Like, there's a line. You know what I mean? Like, money is one thing. And being smart and being safe and being secure, those are all really important things. Because that's a conversation with the universe saying that I'm not going to sacrifice my own personal safety to fit in. Which I get. And green auras get that. And they don't care about society. But if you're with a partner and they need something for their own reasons, and the green aura dismisses that based on their own logic, they can get into trouble and then they can lose relationships that are good for them because of this mentality. So they can be a little stubborn about that. So that's telling the universe that, you know, I'm going to use money as a crutch. I'm going to use money to keep me in this box. And my self-worth is really only dependent on how much I have in the bank. I can't be happy until I have this much money in the bank. And those two things have nothing to do with one another at all. And some of them have a very detailed budget. You have like two types of greens. You have the detailed budget people and the ones that like ignore it completely. See, it's like extreme or nothing. Like it's extreme either way. All right. Blue auras love spending money on other people, but not themselves. Like they love going and spending money for, you know, kids or, you know, family members or whoever. Never. But the second they have to go shopping for themselves, they have like a breakdown in the fitting room. Been there. Okay. I feel like all of us have. What else? Oh, they love to give to those in need and family, monthly donations set up for charities. Shopping's only fun if it's for other people, like all that stuff. All right. So wonderful. And we're so thankful for blues. I mean, they're such givers and healers. And I swear, I don't think the world would work without blue people. Like they are the ones that care when everyone else doesn't or can't or is overwhelmed or ignores it. They care. So thank you, blue auras. But, you know, if you do it too much to your own detriment, then you're telling the universe, I have no self-worth. My self-worth is dependent on what I can do for other people and not myself. That's why it's really important to spend money on yourself every once in a while and say no. And say no sometimes. And limit it and take a step back. It's not you being a mean person. It's you setting up a boundary so that you're not being hurt. You're not hurting yourself to help others. Okay, indigos. Listen, indigos, they're kind of like green aura people. That, like they'll spend the money when it's for something they really want, but not like other things. So I'll see indigos like, oh, I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. And then they buy like the $500 cashmere sweater because it was cozy. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. Oh, yeah. I'm dropping that on the mattress because my bed is super important. You know, so they'll kind of do that. But all their stuff is like cozy related or home related. I know so many. I know indigo auras, like they'll spend money on their animals. Okay. They're going to spend on their cats, the dogs, their horses. They're the ones they're going to spend it. Not that other auras don't, but they don't like really, they kind of like cheap out on a lot of things and then like go crazy on a couple things, but they're always kind of like empath related. So what's the thing? Oh, but indigos have to be careful of this. They'll absorb other people's budget. So like in partnerships and stuff, they have to be careful. Like, cause their partner might be the one completely in control of the money and they have no idea what's going on. Cause like, I don't care. I just need my money for this, like that. And you lose power that way. Then you're telling the universe when you don't pay attention to your budget, you don't pay attention to your spending, you let somebody else take care of everything. You're telling the universe, like, I'm not in control of my own life, somebody else is. And indigos feel that a lot anyhow in every, like, relationship situation. Like, they just absorb into it a little bit and then, like, get pushed around and then they have to indigo-st out. So you have to be careful. You gotta pay more attention, even if it's a little bit. To what's happening in your household. Money just can stress them out. So, all right, purples, spenders. Yeah. Experiences, they'll spend it. Shots for everyone. You're my new best friend at the bar. Shots for you too. Okay. You know, they go to the concert. They're like, hey, I'm here. I already spent money on the tickets. Merch, let's go. I mean, they just go, it's fun. Woo, yay. Nights out, spend first, worry later, a little impulsive. They can't, you know, they understand that money is just so silly. They do get that. That helps them actually with manifesting. They hate reality checks. So when the bank statement comes in, it's like, ugh, they won't look at it. It sits there forever. They get a lot of anxiety over it too. They just can't handle it. So what's the problem? They're telling the universe, this is a conversation with the universe here. When they do this, that they can really, that they don't trust stability isn't essential for them. And that, you know, that they, destruction and chaos is related to money. So their self-worth is in the moment and you only live once and da 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 da, you know, and all that. And then what happens is the universe is like, okay, I'm going to send you more chaotic situations then, because that's how you live. Like you have a great time and then the bill comes in the mail and you just like close your eyes to it. And you're like, I can't see it. I don't want to deal with that. And that right there, I mean, it's a tough narrative. So you got to be careful with that. You got to take away the impulse. You got to, And listen, if you're a purple, you can't walk into the nightclub then. Like, you might have to choose a different venue. Because once you're in it, you can't step back. And don't expect yourself to. So maybe just avoid it and try a more low-key, budget-friendly option before you leave the house. All right. Turquoises. Turquoises are very influenced by other people's purchases. So they might see somebody get something and they're like, I want that. You know, and they really want it. They really do. It's not just like, oh, I want that. You know, and they wait. They're like, no, I want that now. Like that. Very giving. Sometimes they're too giving. Sometimes, like, to fit in, they're like, oh, here. And, you know, it's a little birthday party. Maybe you just met the person. You get them, like, a $100 gift. And they're like, wow, this is, like, a lot. This is a little extreme. Okay, like that. You know, and then they're like, oh, you know, no, take it. And then later they can feel bad about themselves. Like, oh, I feel, you know, am I overgiving? They'll spend it on like a barrage of things, turquoises, often reflecting what direction they feel like they need to go in. Like, oh, I'm really into, I don't know, this sport. I'm really into this. Turquoises, they're so funny. Like, I just read a turquoise and she's just so great and I love her. But she was like so into like Comic-Con and I don't even know what it's called. Cosplay. All her money goes to that. Okay. And that's fine because she enjoys it. That's fine. But I can see, we talked about it too, like where there's limits. Like, you know, you have to be careful because like she would change her mind a lot. Like I was into this cosplay thing and then I moved into that. And then it's like, what the problem with turquoises is, if you're turquoise, you get this, like when you feel it, it's real to you in that moment, 100%. So it's really hard to make better choices because you're sitting in it and you're like, oh man, but I do want this. So the conversation with the universe is that you don't know yourself and that money is a ticket into situations where you feel inauthentic. So taking more time to think and process and whatnot can help with that, because that kind of conversation that turquoises can have with their money is that they don't know who they are. So the universe will keep sending them situations to hammer that home. You don't know who you are. Here's this situation you want to buy into, or that situation, or whatever. Lastly, pinks. Pink auras. Listen, money, life, like I always say, pink auras are like children. If they see something, they want it. They don't care how much it is or how little it is. They just want it. They want to bring it home. And then they're adults with like a credit card, not like a six-year-old in the candy aisle. So they can do it. Nobody's saying don't. So that can get them into overspending trouble. You know, what's money? So they go into like joy bubble situations with their spending habits, which is a total detachment from reality and into their escape. And then the bills come and the bills pile up and they're just like, eh, what's that? Anytime I see, you know, with pink auras, if they're single, you know what I mean? They have a better kind of handle on it. But if they're not, usually their partner is the one dealing with all of it. So I feel like the conversation pink auras have to get kind of control over with the universe, with their spending habits, is I am aware of what I'm doing. I partake in my reality. I make conscious decisions. I understand. So understanding what their reality is and what this purchase means for them, and, you know, understanding the joy this item will bring them when they purchase it or whatever, that's fine. But the conversation has to be a little bit more in depth. And that, because the universe will keep sending you what you put out. If you don't, as a pink aura, understand the consequences of what you do, the universe will keep sending you situations that have dire consequences. And then you'll just be sitting there like, how'd this happen? So get behind it. So you can be like, well, this is how this could go, especially if you're overspending. All right. I want to hear your aura color, spending habits, your relation, how you feel your relationship with money is a conversation about your own self-worth. And let's get deep about it. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. All right. So, you know, listening to you talk about money and the thing, you know, and self-worth, that's really what kind of is coming out of this. And then, you know, it really makes me think, I was actually thinking of this one company in particular, Meta,
Yeah.
Who's actually really capitalizing off of people's self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go into it.
Yeah,
all
right. Do it.
Well, as everybody knows, I'm an international influencer. known throughout many, many social media apps.
How many followers are you up to now?
There's one app where I have like over 17 followers.
Whoa.
Yeah. At TikTok, I have like 37.
Whoa. That's amazing.
Yeah, but they're very loyal.
Loyal people.
And I don't know who they are. They're very loyal people. And then, of course, there's another guy, Petro Honchar, who I'm friends with.
Right.
And he's got these real big accounts. Very international.
Right.
But anyway, recently, Meta, Facebook, whatever you want to call it, Instagram, has been hounding me every time I turn on the app to buy, a verification.
Yeah.
A check mark.
They're selling them now.
They're selling them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can get the same blue check mark.
Right, as Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
If I want to be Drew Barrymore, they're trying to sell me
as Kim Kardashian. Go for
that
it.
I could be Kim Kardashian.
Right.
And this is really, it's really been bugging me, you know, because can I afford the $14 a month, whatever? Yes, of course I could afford I could buy this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that big a deal to me to buy it, okay?
Right.
But I got a problem with it. You know, even though I'm this international superstar on social media, I am not going to buy this. This is like one of those things because it's ripping people off. Facebook is, first of all, they make hundreds of millions of dollars a year, by the way. And now they're ripping people off.
Is this a red rant?
This is a red rant.
Okay.
But truly, it does tie in.
Right, it does.
Everything that you've talked about, we've talked about today, because they're capitalizing on people's self-worth.
Yes.
So for $14 a month, and then I'm looking like, what are they giving me?
What do they give you?
Because I pay $14 a month for Netflix, I think,
right.
Or $15 or something. But they're giving me, some content, but some not good content, but they're giving me content.
That's it. Red rant for a different day.
Yeah. I pay $15 for Amazon Prime.
Right.
But they're giving me free shipping.
Right.
And they're giving me Amazon Prime TV shows, which nobody watches.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah.
You're seeing value.
I'm seeing
your life.
Yeah, there's value there. I can make a case that I watch $15.
Yeah.
We can do overtime if you want. I can make a case where I watch $15. You definitely watch $15 worth of Netflix a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are they giving me? That for $15 a month, they're going to verify that I'm me.
Yes.
Well, first of all, anyone who follows my account knows it's me. There's no way they don't.
They should do it anyways. That's my thing with that.
Yeah.
Like, why are you charging for that? Like, it's your, they let all these fake accounts on in the first
thing. Yeah, this is their problem.
Like, when you report them, okay, because this used to be a real problem before I got verified as Mystic Michaela. I got verified like in 2018 or I don't even know.
Yeah,
something like
2019
that.
2019 or something.
Maybe 20. It was a while ago. It was a real problem because all these fake accounts.
Right.
Now I have, but I get verified, so it's less of a problem. Then over at Know Your Aura Pod, it's not verified.
Right.
And I refuse to pay for it.
No, I'm not going to pay for it.
And but so many accounts impersonate it. And I know, and here's the other, so many people go through this who have businesses.
Yeah.
So many people go through this who have businesses on Instagram. And it's like they weren't. Like, you'd have to have such an influx. I think only because of all of you guys, if I put it up, hey, please report, they did anything. But they weren't. It's like they set up the system so that they could charge this and make it. That's my thought. I don't know if that's true. But that's in my head. I feel like they set up the mess so we could pay ourselves to clean it.
Yeah.
It's annoying to me.
Maybe that's what they did. I'm not sure. I mean, I could see a one-time fee. Okay, you want to charge me $15?
Okay.
One time, because you got some processing to do. You got to look at the IDs. You have to hire some people to do that. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to charge $15
a month to keep it.
That little blue nonsense on your thing. That's 15 times. That's $150. That's $180. And again, that's 1 year.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that you got to roll it over.
Mm-hmm.
And what if you don't pay the $15 a month? It goes away.
You're taking
your self-worth and you're just ripping it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a sad play for
They're making you pay to be real.
Yeah, and on their app.
on their
thing. And they make millions and millions of dollars,
by the way.
It's
their house.
It's not their... It's not like... I can see we can't keep this app going. Everyone loves it. But if everyone chips in...
Right, crowdsourcing.
It's not that... Yeah. That's not the case. They make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, you've looked up this.
But yes, a quarter a profit. So... And then... It's really... I mean, it's so sad. I mean, it's... it really bothers me.
Right.
That, you know, and you, Facebook will never get my $15 a month for that, by the way. just like I'm not paying that, ever pay that disposition fee. And then it's ironic because, you know, working in the, with this and, you know, looking, you know, when we book guests or, you know, or we're people that we have to do, you did have to kind of use that blue check mark as a verification point.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of times, you know, people come to you and they this and that and they're it's just phony.
Yes.
But it was a way. And now there is a way to check to see if someone bought it or not.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give away the secrets for those people.
Right.
You know, I don't want to do that. But there is a way to check to see if someone bought it.
Yeah.
But it makes it more difficult for people who are really trying to do something real. So in that case, it's actually hurting businesses as well. It's going to hurt.
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like it depends what you're going for on there. You know, like the check mark can help you probably get away from the fakes who are trying to scam.
That's what it used to be able to do a little bit.
Yeah, but you know how hard it is to get verified? Like before all this, it was really hard.
Oh, very difficult.
There's no set process. And it was just, I think I woke up one morning on a sick McHale. I'm like, oh my God, how did that even happen? Like,
yeah, just one morning they did it.
And then we used to think, and I don't know if this is true, because like other people would get it. Like, you know, cause I'm, you know, in connection with like some, you know, I don't know, like real reality stars, and I'm not going to say how or whatever, but like their management team. So if they pay a certain, people weren't doing it. Like if you pay a certain amount to a team, then there's like connections and they can get it done that way.
Right.
You know? So it's this like secret hush, hush, who, you know, I mean, I got lucky. It was like the secret hush, hush, who, you know, kind of situation. It was not easy. And they always pretended that, well, if you're worth it, you get it, you know, that kind of thing. And that's never, and now you can just pay for it, but $15 a month, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
You're not getting, what are you getting for that except, oh, you're real. Here you go. You're real.
Right. Because it
doesn't. Like, thanks. Like, I should. Yes.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. Like, the ongoing payment is ridiculous.
What am I paying? Right.
Like, you should pay once.
Yeah.
And then, okay, look, I verified it. They checked my government ID against my name.
Right.
Fine.
What is.
Yeah. Fine.
Yeah.
But this is silly.
The profit margin on that is 99.99% that they're trying after the first month.
You're walking into their house and they can do what they want. Yeah.
But I don't know. I honestly think it's going to come bite them.
I think it's going to
come back and bite them. Yeah, because in essence, what you had with the verification was, it was creating status for certain people.
Right.
And then everyone else. So it was just like society creates tiers. Facebook was doing the same thing.
They just play off that.
But now
hierarchy.
The irony is of it, as people buy it, in essence, the more people buy it, the lesser the value of the check mark.
Yes.
So actually, if they're charging 15, they should be, as people buy it, it's got to walk back down to nothing.
It should be like everybody can get one.
Yeah.
And then it changes the narrative of what the check mark means. The check mark means you're a real person.
Right.
That's all that means.
Right. And
that's fine, but that's not what initially it was.
Right.
It was that you were a well-known person with something about, like, your account could be in jeopardy or copied.
Yeah.
And now they changed it.
And I did the math of this. So if you can just get 1%, if Facebook gets
1%. Oh, you did the math on this,
1% of the people that use the app to do it, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes. So you think it's a cash grab?
Total cash grab.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, in my red aura, I feel that they're just ripping people off. And it upsets me that
they're
getting away with it.
You know that people are seeing it as a self-worth situation.
Exactly.
And they're tapping into people's ideas of their own self-worth.
Exactly.
And they're capitalizing off of it.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. I don't think there's anything that actually ties this episode together better than this example.
Wow.
Because of the self, it's tying money and self-worth and everything into one.
Status and who you are as a person and all that kind of stuff. And wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that scary?
It's scary.
But it's a 3D world and it's how it works. So I do. I want to hear everyone's like thoughts. Because
we'll put a post up.
Oh, I think we could get amazing insight. The MMSF always has amazing insight.
Yeah.
And just reading, every time I put up a post and people just write things on, it's like I feel people getting more and more enlightened and more aware, and myself included. Like I read, I'm like, whoa, I didn't even think of it that way. Like you guys are so insightful. So hopefully we'll just pull it all together and get as 5D as we can in this 3D situation.
Yeah. And I'll plug the Facebook group one more time. I know. And now I think we have over 10,000 people in there. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 10,300 or something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're listening to the podcast and you're not part of the Facebook group, and again, here I'm now plugging to go
on
to Facebook.
Oh, yeah, you're plugging Facebook. It's so weird, dude. There's nowhere else to do it. I don't know where else to do it.
But if you do want to have these... Right.
This is so gross.
Oh, my God.
You're in the system.
I'm in the system.
You can't get out.
I can't get out.
It's a whirlpool. It sucks you in.
I'm just going to read my Mothman book. But... No, seriously, if you do want to have these conversations...
Join Facebook.
Join Facebook. Join Meta.
Wow. They have you advertising for them.
Yeah, I'm not, you know...
Look at you.
No, it is. You're right. I mean, even us, you know, Yeah.
You're a cog in the machine, dude. Another brick in the wall.
Yeah, because, you know, it's the most effective way for us to communicate to those 10,000 people.
Well, I tell you guys, too, because a lot of people aren't on Facebook, which I totally get and understand.
Yes, I get that, too.
You can make a fake book. Yeah. Which a lot of you guys do, just like in our, like when you sign up to join, because we have amazing admins who make sure everybody who comes in is like a real person and with their own verification. No, I don't know. We just make sure, just put in there like, this is my fake book account just so I could join.
Yeah.
You know, and then that way we can make sure that.
So
don't worry
about
it.
Right. So if you are listening and you want to have like more deeper conversations.
Oh, it's a great
group. That is a great source to go to on Facebook. Mystic Michaela, Spiritual Family on Facebook.
But it's good things, you know, too.
You know who I want to meet? Overtime. Zuckerberg.
Oh, is this?
I got a lot to say.
This is Overtime?
I think so.
He'd just blink at you. He'd be like, oh.
I want to.
Like, do you,
you
think
know,
he'd listen to anything you had? Like, seriously.
I want to.
Nothing bothers
him. I want to rip that guy.
Oh.
I just want to go into that guy and just.
You think you could be more effective than anybody else has been?
No. No, he's... No.
You think he cares?
No. I don't think he cares. I think he's the weirdest dude on the planet.
Dude, careful. I don't want us to get like...
That's true. They could have spies.
This whole episode
could
be like flagged now.
Because
you just like went into your red rant about Meta verification. Yeah. Now you're going after... I'm silencing you.
Fine.
Because they probably can hear it. Like all the artificial intelligence can
God,
this is Overtime.
Right.
But... The robots can listen
the chat,
now.
What is it? Chat GGP?
Stop it.
Oh, my God.
You're scaring me.
They're coming for us.
They're going to... that chat GPT thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm saying it wrong.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know how to work it, but my friend who's green, you know, he knows how to work it.
Yeah.
Jay.
Oh, okay.
And he put in, like, who is Mystic Michaela?
Yeah.
And... all this information popped out and it was incorrect.
What did it say?
It said that I wrote books I didn't write.
Really?
Yeah. And it said like most people don't believe in me. But if you do, it was like really like it was real saucy. Like
really?
What it said. Yeah, it was real saucy. Because what it does, it just takes from all the sources where there's, you know, cynicism against psychics. And it just shoved it in my description. But it said I wrote books I didn't write. It said I was on TV shows I wasn't on.
Okay.
Chill. So it made me look better than I am.
Okay.
But then it also said that like most people don't believe in me and that it's like fake.
This
and
person like, doesn't see colors around people.
Yeah, like chat GPT or whatever doesn't like me, which is fine.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really really creepy.
Oh wow, that's so weird.
It was really, really creepy.
That's really creepy.
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't know. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but
I have no idea. We're in overtime, so it doesn't matter.
You just got majorly flagged, and like I'm conspiracy theorying that this episode now doesn't get heard by anyone.
We didn't make fun of Apple or Spotify.
Yeah, but I think Meta is like the same, right?
It is. I don't know.
Scary. We'll find out.
All right, let's end this.
All right. This podcast is for you and about you, and we're so glad you spent some time with us today.
Save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile and get fiber-powered internet at home and unbeatable 5G reliability on the go. So whether you're playing a game at home,
yes, goal,
or attending one live,
goal,
you can do more without spending more. Learn how to save at cox.com/internet. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial cable. Cox Mobile runs on the network with unbeatable 5G reliability as measured by Ookla LLC in the U.S. 2H 2023. Results may vary, not an endorsement. Other restrictions apply.